You're so welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. We're so grateful that you are here. You are beside us. You're in front of us. You're behind us. You're on us. You're comforting us. You're leading us. You're pushing us. You're challenging us. And you're anointing us. Stand in your presence confident of this fact, that with you we have everything.
Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm fully satisfied.
With you, Holy Spirit, we have everything. All the things that humanity strives for. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. The world is so desperately looking for faithfulness. Trying to control oneself. All of these things are ours because, Holy Spirit, you are in us. So my prayer this morning is that you would anoint your word to us. As your word is spoken, that they wouldn't be my words, but Holy Spirit, they would be inspired by you and anointed by you, that you would anoint the ears to hear and that you would anoint my lips as I speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my God and my Redeemer, I pray. Pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, the one who was and is to come. Our King, Jesus. Lord, may the peace that we feel right now invade our city of Wyndham in Jesus' name. So many in our city troubled. Troubled because of what's going on in the world, but Lord, you are with us.
Yes, Jesus, you're with
and you're at work in our city right now. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Well, you may be seated, everyone. I'm just overwhelmed this morning from pretty much, you know, right from the outset, but when the ladies were praying for India this morning, I just felt so moved by God. The Holy Spirit just was here and just anointing this room and just filling this room with His presence. But I felt like because our God is omnipresent, He is everywhere. I just feel, I'm sure, that we could probably, those of us who have friends and relatives and that in the nation of India, I wouldn't mind if you asked them at what time was it, about 10:20 Melbourne time on the 2nd of May, what was happening in India at that time? Where were you? And my prayer is somewhere asleep, of course. But, for those that maybe weren't, I just pray that there was a sense of the presence of God and the power of God in their life at that particular time. Karen and I would appreciate your prayers this week. Our national leadership team of our movement, we're meeting together, and this is the first time we've actually been able to meet in person for over 12 months, I think it is. We've been having all our meetings on Zoom, and it's actually quite exciting to think that we'll actually be able to be in a room together, but we really want to hear from God in terms of the movement that we are a part of. Dream Builders, we're a part of Acts Global Churches, and as a leadership team, we want to get together and just really seek the Lord for the future. You know, we don't just want to react to the moment, we want to be ahead of things, and we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us and give us a picture of what's out ahead and start to move in that direction and make sure that we're planning and strategizing accordingly. So we'd appreciate your prayers. Our national leader, Wayne Swift, just if he's been here, he's preached here, please remember him as he leads these meetings and as he leads us as a movement. All right, we're going to, today we're concluding our sermon series on Who I Am in Christ. And you need to know, these weeks we've been talking through this, we've probably barely scratched the surface of who we really are in Christ. You need to study that yourself always. I believe it's something we always need to be looking at personally in our relationship with the Lord, is who are you, who am I, how am I changing to become more like you, what needs to change for that to happen, what do I need to surrender over to the Holy Spirit. These are conversations we need to be having as individuals over and over and over with the Lord, and He by His Spirit will indeed help us. But for this time, we're going to conclude this morning, and I'm wanting us to focus on a passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. So if we could go there, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We speak for Christ. That's a bit overwhelming for me, because I know there's times that I say things and it's not Christ-like. And if I am representing Him, it actually doesn't matter what I say to somebody who doesn't know Jesus but knows I represent Him. They think the words that I say is representative of Him, because I speak for Christ. I find that really sobering. It means I have to really think about the words that I'm saying. And it's a challenge to us when we find the wrong words come out. It's a challenge to us because we realize how far we have to go to be genuine representatives of Jesus. That's not a bad thing, as long as we acknowledge that and we open up our heart to God and repent. Say, I need to turn around. Repenting is about turning around. It's about turning away from one way and moving in the direction that is the right direction. I want to read another verse that I think will help us with this, because that is so sobering. We speak for Christ. And we know that sometimes we're a bit of a blabbermouth and we just speak before we think, and we know it's not Christ. We know it's not Him. But this verse will help us to understand that, you know what, we're on a journey and God's going to help us here. So let's just go. Karen read these verses for us last week. I'm just going to read this one verse, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. We are God's masterpiece. Do you know in God's thinking and God's planning, He sees us how we're going to be. Because He's creating this masterpiece, but He knows what the masterpiece looks like, and He sees us. Now, the reason He knows what the masterpiece looks like, because He knows what Christ looks like. And what He's trying to shape in us as the, if you like, as the sculptor or as the artist, what He's trying to shape in us is so that we would look like Christ. And He actually sees the end product, not so much where we are now, and He calls us the end product. We are God's masterpiece. Now, we know it's a work in progress, but He doesn't talk to you, He doesn't say, you're my work in progress. He says, you're my masterpiece. Because He's seeing what we're going to become if we will yield to Him. If we will be the clay that put ourselves in the potter's hand, the potter knows what we're going to look like. We just say we're a piece of clay. But God doesn't see us as just a piece of clay. He's the artist. He's the potter. He sees us for what we're going to be and what we're going to become. I just think it's amazing. But this what we find in this verse when it says we are God's masterpiece and He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. In this verse is so much. But what is in this verse, it answers a couple of questions for us. It answers what we are and why we are. What we are and why we are. You see, our identity is for us, we say this is my identity, and we look at ourselves right now and we look at ourselves as this work in progress and this person who is not deserving of being called as someone who can speak for Christ. We look at ourselves in that sense, but our identity is not in how we see ourselves. Our identity is in how He sees us. And He says, I see you as a representative of Jesus. I see you as a masterpiece, and the masterpiece that I'm shaping you to be looks like this. He wants us to get our identity from Christ. He wants us to understand that we need to be looking at Christ even as He, the one who is making the masterpiece, looks at Christ and says, that's what I'm shaping you to be, Dale. And I'm calling you that before you are even that, because I'm the Creator and I can. So I see what you don't see. Our identity comes from Christ. Our world is it just freaks me out how messed up our world is in terms of identity. If we could just focus on Jesus, because that's who the Creator is focusing on when He says, I'm calling you a masterpiece. He's focusing on Jesus. That's what He sees. The world is focusing on everything but Jesus and sort of saying, who am I? What am I? What should I be? What do I want to be? How can I go about becoming something that I'm not, because actually I want to be that? Come on. It's simple. Eyes on Jesus. The what, our identity, is seen in these words, God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. You know, when we think about God as a creator, and we think about his workmanship. You know, some versions say we are his workmanship. When we think about the workmanship of God, our mind normally goes to the wonder of creation. And it goes to the expanse of the galaxies, the wonders of the universe. It looks at the moons and the stars and so forth. And we think, wow, it's amazing. And that's where our mind goes. And those works are amazing when we focus on that, the wonder of God's creation. But what is more wonderful is that God is making the very character of Christ in us. So when he says, you are my workmanship, I'm shaping you to be like Jesus, it's no different from, wow, how did all those stars get there? The same power and the same words that spoke them into being is being spoken over you right now. And change is taking place because we are being altered. We're being shaped from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. That is God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. Oh, but I'm this, I'm that. I wouldn't dare open my mouth. All these things that we say, and we read them in the scriptures, everyone's excuse as to why they can't speak for God. But when we understand we are his workmanship and he's being shaped and he's shaping us, we can trust him. If he put all the stars out there, if he created the world as it is right now, if he's the one who has made us to be who we are and is continuing to shape us to be like Jesus, wow. What a great thing to have our identity in Christ and not other things. You know, I heard an artist once say, there is an imprint or an impression that is left in an artwork by the artist that is something of an expression of who they are. So an artist says, when I paint a painting or when I shape a sculpture or whatever it is, there's something of me, the artist, in that art. It's what an artist understands. So when God says, you are my masterpiece, I am shaping you, or I'm creating you to be everything that I want you to be, his hand is in us, on us, shaping us. Something of the imprint of the artist is actually on us. That's why we can say that we're being made anew in Christ. When we submit ourselves to God, the one who wants to create a masterpiece in our life, he makes us more and more like Jesus every day. So our identity is in Christ. But Ephesians 2:10 also asks the why we are question. What we are is becoming more like Jesus. Why is seen in the words, the what we are is we are his masterpiece. The why is in the words, all the good things that he planned for us to do long ago. There is purpose. We find our identity in Christ, but we also find our purpose in Christ. Remember, we're being shaped to be more like Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then, of course, in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, Jesus entered the room and said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. So not only is our identity found in Christ, our purpose is found in Christ. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Scripture says, dwells in us. And so if God anointed him and he did amazing things by the power of the Spirit when Jesus was on earth, that same Spirit anoints us to do exactly the same things. So the ongoing shaping work of God in our life is not so that we might simply look good or even be good. Becoming more and more like Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:10, is also about what we do. It's not just so that we might look more like Christ, or that we, you know, or that we might be someone that's somehow representative of Christ. It's so that we would do the good works that he's planned for us long ago. Now, understand this, it's nothing to do with our salvation. We're already saved. We're created anew in Christ, not because of the good works, but because we're created anew in Christ, we do good works. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's always the other way around. Most people think we've got to do good to find salvation, but the Bible and the gospel is very clear. Salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone, and because of that, we just do good. We don't just look good, we don't just be good. Oh yeah, you know, I can be good. No, we actually do the very things he's called us to do. But we get it all messed up and say, you know what, I'm not even sure if I'm saved because, you know, I can't do this and I don't do that and I should be thinking this and I should be thinking that. We are saved by Christ and Christ alone. But if we are genuinely saved, we won't have any problem doing what he asks us to do, because the Spirit of God is in us, working through us. So God's prepared us to do good works. He's making us his masterpiece. But I also love the fact that he's prepared the good things for us to do. So he's not just shaping you, but he's also got these assignments that are starting to build up that you're going to be able to just match with in a moment, because he wants us to represent him. So, you know, at Dream Builders, our goal, Karen and my goal as pastors, is to provide an environment where we connect with God, we relate with one another, where we can be equipped and discipled, where the Holy Spirit can anoint us and empower us so that we can fulfill mission. Devotional, relational, equipping, anointed, and missional people. This is what God is shaping in us, shaping us to be. And so as we continue to be a people who submit ourselves to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're committing to being instruments of transformation in the world. We're called to be his representatives. So as I've been saying throughout this year, we're called to reflect his glory in the world. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started. Just verse 20 is what we'll look at. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I think that word ambassador is a good word for us to just focus on for a bit. An ambassador. You could, you know, I mean, that's come from the original Greek word and the best English word that, you know, that the New Living Translation Bible scholars have come up with is the word ambassador. An ambassador is a person of a high standing in the world. An ambassador is a diplomat, an official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as a representative of a government or a sovereign of another nation. And so an ambassador, the ambassador from the Czech Republic, lives in Canberra in an embassy there. And when that person goes and speaks to the Prime Minister of Australia, that person is representing the Republic, the Czech Republic. That's how it works. And so that's a very, very important position that they hold, an authorized representative. And so when people listen to and they observe an ambassador of a nation, they should be able to be confident that that person is an accurate reflection of the government that they are representing. And the words that they speak, they're speaking for and on behalf of the government. And so when we think about it in terms like that, that their word is actually speaking for much more than themselves, it puts it all into a new light for us when we say we are ambassadors of Christ. It's a huge responsibility. When people listen and they observe us, do they see an accurate representation of the character of Christ? At Dream Builders Church, we have a number of statements that define the kind of church we are becoming. And there's seven statements that start with the words, we see, what we see Dream Builders Church becoming. One of those statements is this: we see a group of people whose eyes are firmly fixed on Jesus, a people who know Him as their Savior, who worship and serve Him as Lord, and reflect His character. Now, that's in print. We don't want it to just be in print. We want it imprinted on us. We want it to be real. We want those words to become a reality, not just to be nice words. But actually, when you want a vision to become... The idea of a vision is that it's not just something that's nice to look at, it's something that you become. It's something that becomes real. It mightn't be yet, but it is going to be. We must have that kind of mindset. And so here we are, we're saying and we're declaring by faith in vision, we're saying we want to be a people who reflect His character. So in order to reflect His character, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Our eyes have got to be on Him. If we're going to be a representative of Christ, if we're going to represent Him by our words and by our actions, we need to know Him and we need to have our eyes on Him and we need to see what He does, I will do. Jesus Himself said many times, what I see the Father do is what I'm doing. His eyes were fixed on the Father, and he was reflecting the heart of the Father in His actions. And the scriptures say to us, fix your eyes on Jesus. We should be able to say, I'm doing what I'm doing because of Jesus. He showed us who the Father is. Now you keep your eyes on Me and you're going to reflect the heart of the Father as well. That's what He's saying. So when we look upon the Lord and we look into His eyes, something supernatural takes place. I think it's important when you're having a conversation with someone that you actually have eye contact. Something happens in eye contact. If I've got eye contact with Karen when I tell her I love her, she knows whether I'm lying or not. If I'm in the other room and just yell it out, she has no idea whether I'm going. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's have our eyes on Him. Something happens when you fix your eyes on Jesus. See, he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who changes us to become more and more like him. This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, and when we do, something happens. Something happens. I love what the book of Revelation says about Jesus' eyes. Revelation chapter 1 verse 14 says, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And then it goes on and says, and his eyes were like flames of fire. So if you fix your eyes on Jesus, you can be sure of this. You are looking in eyes that have the potential to burn his very image into you. His eyes are like fire. It's like, okay, if you want something to change, you fix your eyes on Jesus, because his eyes are like flames of fire. They're going to burn. They're going to burn his image upon us. But it's not an external thing, like, oh, I'm going to have all these singe marks everywhere. It's not an external thing. When his image is burnt on us, it's not external. We don't start to look like the artist's impressions of what they think Jesus looked like. It's not external. It's internal. And it's reflected externally. So when he looks into our eyes with flames of fire, it doesn't affect us externally. It goes right through into our very spirit. Changes us. Burns. Burns away all that dross, all that rubbish. And then it reflects externally through what we do, through our actions. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, this is the whole internal thing that takes place. We look in his eyes and he burns his image upon us. Then it says this in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Our world so desperately needs hearts of flesh. All these stony hearts all over the place. Can't even get a sense of concern for anyone other than themselves. Things going on in the world and people not looking past themselves. We see it in our own country. Things going on in one state and people say, I don't care about all the other states as long as our state. You know, this is hearts of stone. God wants us to have hearts that are soft. And hearts that are compassionate, and hearts that are like, you know what, hang the risk, hang whatever it is. If that person needs me right now, I'm not gonna hide away and not be available. I need to have a heart of flesh. I pray that, God, for all of our premiers in Jesus' name. So when we share our faith, we represent Jesus. And as I said earlier, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't do it in our own strength. Well, I'll do all these things and then, you know, then I'll be a good person, then I'll be saved, and then I'll go to heaven. It's like, it's just complete reverse. I love that about the gospel. It's so reverse to any other religion and any other ideology. It's just complete reverse. Gospel. How powerful is the gospel? Anyway, we're anointed. And we're anointed to do the good things he planned long ago. And Jesus embodied what it meant to walk in the Spirit of God. And I honestly believe that we can expect that some of our encounters are with people will be the same as the encounters Jesus had with people. Jesus, anointed by the Spirit, encountered people and things took place. Things happened when he encountered them. And we need to start to believe, if I'm being shaped, if I'm being prepared in the image of Christ, that it, and the Lord has imprinted me with who he is and he's changed my heart, we can believe that when we interact with people, just as Jesus did, that supernatural things are going to happen. Supernatural things are going to happen. And I just want to run through just a few encounters. You know, the Gospels are fantastic to see the things that Jesus did, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to walk through a few things in the Gospel of Mark right now and some of the encounters that Jesus had with individuals. And for us to understand, if we're going to represent him, we need to start believing for these things to happen when we encounter Jesus. Amen? When we encounter people in the name of Jesus, is what I meant to say. Mark chapter 1, we read of a man with leprosy coming and kneeling before Jesus. Jesus, if you're willing, will you heal me? If you're willing, I know you can. Will you make me clean? The leper said. And this is verse 41. Moved with compassion, a heart of flesh, a soft heart. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out, touched him. He touched him. What? This guy's got the Rona. Don't touch him. Jesus touched him. He touched him. And Jesus said, be healed. Instantly, leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Come on, church. We represent the same Christ. It's the same Spirit on him that's on us. We shouldn't be living in fear of man. As Jenna prayed so brilliantly this morning, the fear of the Lord causes people to run to the Lord. And the God and those who are God-fearers shouldn't run away from a situation or an opportunity or a problem. We actually should run into it and say, come on, can we do something about this? There's got to be something we can do. It's got to be. The man was healed. So let's not have this kind of, I heard the neighbor is infected. Let's move 10 blocks away. Anywhere past 5 kilometers, that apparently is safe. I just feel like we need to be those with these hearts of compassion that say, we've got to do something today. Mark chapter 2 says that Jesus ran into a tax collector. Oh no, a politician of the day. None of us want to interact with them, do we? But Jesus said, come on, you can change too. You can change too. You too can have a soft heart. And so he found Levi, who later we know as Matthew. And he said, you can follow me. And he started to follow him. And because of the relationship, Matthew's just like, this is like nothing I've ever seen or known. He starts to invite all his friends from all sorts of walks of life, throws a big party and makes sure that Jesus is the special guest so they can all meet him. Come on, we have to have this sense that when we are becoming more like Jesus, that when we put the invitation out, they're going to come from all sorts of different places. There's only one idea in our head. We want to introduce them to Jesus. And that's what That's what we saw with Matthew. So you know what? You can interact with someone. You can say, come on, I want to encourage you to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus. You're going to see changes happen in their lives. It's amazing. Our team can come back up to the stage. In Mark chapter 4, it's the story of the storm that comes up when Jesus' disciples are in the boat, and Jesus is the one that stands and says, come on, peace in this situation. We are representatives of Jesus. We are his ambassadors. We speak for him. We represent him. So in the midst of a storm in someone's life, we can, come on church, we can step into that situation and we can say, peace, be still. Our words represent his words. I need to represent his words. In Mark chapter 10, we see that this is where Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, you know, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He gave his life as a ransom for many. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying, if you are fixing your eyes on me and I am burning my character into you, you're not going to want to be served. Everything within you is just going to want to serve. And I believe with all my heart that the world will only see Jesus when it's actually dazzled by servanthood. We don't want, I don't ever want the church to be seen as just, you know, something that is its own little thing and they have their own good time. We need all that. We need worship together. We need to be together. We need to encourage one another. We are community, but we also need to be out in the community, and we need to be serving humanity in the same way that Jesus served humanity. Each one of us, church, each one of us is a masterpiece. We're not created to sit dormant on a gallery wall somewhere. Look at all these masterpieces in church. Then he's not creating something that's hung up there on the wall for everyone to see and say, look at the church. No, this masterpiece moves. This masterpiece speaks. This masterpiece acts. It represents Jesus. We are a masterpiece. We have plans from God. He's given us a purpose. He's molding us for the purpose that we were born for. We're God's masterpiece. We're his ambassadors. Come on, let's declare his glory among the nations. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord, I just want to say thank you for who you are. So grateful for the scriptures. So grateful for the gospels. So grateful for those anointed by the Holy Spirit to pen the things that you said to them, the things that you did, so that we can get a glimpse of who it is that we're representing. We can learn to speak as you speak and to do as you do, to minister as you ministered. Thank you that you've called us to be your ambassadors. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone in this room or anyone watching us on YouTube right now, you know, if you're saying, well, I've been trying so hard to be a Christian, I want to say to you, try no longer. Just look to the Savior. All we have to say is, Lord, I can't become what I know you want me to become. I yield myself to you. I submit myself to you. Holy Spirit, come and change my life. That's why the Bible says when we're saved, we are born of the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not by anything you can do. And so I just invite anybody who is not walking with the Lord right now to just simply pray your own prayer saying, Lord, I need you. My righteousness is like filthy rags, as it says in the Bible. But Lord, I look to you as my righteousness. So Lord, I thank you for the way that you're changing lives right now. Thank you for the way that you're shaping us and preparing us for all that's on your heart to do. Help us to declare your glory.